This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
No, we're not.
We are now on.
We are now on. Hey, thanks for listening. This is a special edition of the podcast because we're not doing a show thing roundup because we're not doing a show today. So I feel energized. I am full of vim and vigor.
Because we're not doing a show?
Yeah, because I didn't have to worry about all the getting all the stuff together.
The show stuff, yeah.
I can just kind of wing it. And I wanted to start by, and of course that's really appealing. Oh, but good, they're winging it.
There's no plan. There's no forethought that has gone into this at all. Enjoy.
Yeah. We're promising the quality is lower today. That is our pledge to you. So Thanksgiving is tomorrow. You may be listening to this on Thanksgiving or later on, but that's when we're doing it. I had just seen a story, and I wanted to pass this along just to podcast people because it's hard to unpack it on the air. But I just saw this story, and this is a little girl. She's almost six, and she lives in Cairo. I get these reports because I work at CURE, this global hospital ministry, medical ministry, and I just think this is so instructive about what grace is that I just had to tell you. So I see all these stories from the different spiritual directors at the different hospitals and programs we have. They'll just be like, they have to write a report about each person that comes through. And So this is a six-year-old girl. Her parents are poor. So imagine the sights and smells of living in Cairo and you don't have any money. Okay, so that's their environment. She's born with clubfoot. She's mocked. She doesn't get to play with the other kids. She doesn't get to go to school. Her mom is so heartbroken for her, and they can't get help for her medically, but she's like, I want to cheer her up. So she started drawing cartoons on her daughter's feet just so that she would look at her feet and have something to smile and giggle about. And I guess it kind of worked. And her mom also thought, well, I'll decorate her feet and make it beautiful. So she used henna on her feet, like red henna. And as a mom, you can imagine how horrible it would be to watch that become actually a joke with her friends. So they called her the girl with the red feet. And she was even further humiliated. Well, they heard from a doctor that Habiba, this girl, could be healed, but it was going to cost a lot. Well, they didn't have any money. So they went on what they called their starving program, where they stopped eating regularly for 2 years, and they moved out of their little apartment that they had and moved in with other family, crammed into a tiny apartment, cut back on everything, including food for her, including food for dad and mom, so that they could just save money for 2 years in hopes of finally getting her feet fixed. And if you don't know about clubfoot, it's so people actually walk on the tops of their feet. Their feet are turned inward, like a golf club is what it looks like. In many cases, can't walk at all. In her case, she couldn't walk. So they saved up for 2 years. They went in. The doctor did no good. They found out about CURE, and her feet were fixed. And so she's got hope. She still has to come in for regular stuff because it takes a little while to straighten the feet out. But I'm sure they're going to follow up. I mean, so the prognosis looks awesome. So she's going to be able to run and play. And her parents are elated. But one of the things they were struck by is, why didn't it cost anything? Why was it free? We don't have any money. They were told, well, we don't have any money at all, so we're hopeless. And they were able to say, well, God loves you, and people love you, and they love Habiba, and this is going to be free. And they were elated. So their lives are different now because of that. And I want to thank you because there are a lot of people who listen to the podcast and who do already support CURE, what we call CURE Heroes, people who give $35 a month. And that's the net result. Somebody can come in there. I also thought it was instructive about grace, about trying to do things on your own, and you find out it didn't get you what you wanted anyway. And the shock that comes from something being free that you thought had to be on you, and it's hard to absorb. And it was really hard for these parents to absorb because they've been spending 2 years going without food in many cases. Each day, at least one meal was gone, sometimes two, for the whole family. And yet, here they find healing that's free, and it's breathtaking if you can accept it. So thanks for supporting CURE. If you want to support it, I don't get a kickback on this. There's not financial vested interest in this for me. Nobody's asking me to go on the podcast and tell you about this. I do it because my wife and I give, and we give more and more because we see what's going on. And I'm so thankful for an expression of Christianity that's like this, to say, and she may well be Muslim. I would expect she is. There are Christians who live in Cairo, so I don't know. But the idea is that it doesn't matter whether you're Muslim, Christian, whatever, Jesus is a healer. And yes, that does draw people into relationship with him. The healing often comes first, and that's what happens. But I just love an open door as a believer. I says, this is the Jesus I know, and we heal. So if you want to do it, I would really encourage you to do it. All you have to do is go to cure.org, and you can sign up, and then you get reports each month on the kid you're helping heal. And it's just so beautiful, and you get to see the stories yourself, and they're all like a movie.
Yeah, they are.
It's amazing. Like, I could tell you stories every time we went on a podcast. I could tell you one. But I just thought I'd do that today since we had the time. But her name's Habiba, and the spiritual director just called her story in her little roundup, The Girl with the Red Feet. Hmm. And I love that. Saw this video and shared it on Twitter. I'm sure it'll make some people mad. That's okay, because I think it's true, and it'll really save some people from a lot of hassle. And it's about the vitamin N. People need vitamin N. Kids need vitamin N. Sherry's mom, as I understand it, and I can totally see this, her parenting style, she was very liberal with the use of vitamin N. Uh-oh. With her kids.
What is it?
Because without vitamin N, your kids suffer.
Okay.
Vitamin N is two letters. It's the word no. And this video is so good.
Oh, my mom had healthy, healthy doses
totally.
Of that.
Totally. It helps every your day. Child. Anyone with wisdom knows this, but there's a lot of people that have kids they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They honestly think that I just give my kids what they want and I validate their feelings, and that will help them later on. It doesn't. It destroys them.
Mm.
But when I hear about how your mom would not validate your feelings,
no.
My mom wouldn't validate my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if I threw a fit, mm-hmm. then it was, that's a problem. It's going to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Or if it's too bad, so sad, get out of here. Right?
And the
yes, fine...
that is how my mom was.
With you and your brother?
Yes, she was and still is. And a little less so. This is the funny thing with my...
With your brother?
With my nieces.
Oh, your niece? Oh, well, she's grandma.
Yeah, but my brother is all about that. So it's funny when she's like, well, Juan, let's just... And he always says, who is this person I'm talking to? Because this is not the person that raised me and Sherry. I don't know who she is. It's like, oh...
She has morphed into grandma.
And everything goes.
That's what happened. Totally. Well, it's such a healthy thing. And this video is only 5 minutes long, and it's this child psychologist talking about it. And it's so relevant, I think, to stuff that's going on in the world, too. But he talks about how if you don't invalidate some of your kids' feelings,
mm-hmm.
they think all their feelings are valid.
Mm-hmm.
And so they grow up, and then they become young adults, and they can't imagine being able to dismiss their own feelings or think past it. And mm-hmm. that's such a big part of personal discipline, spiritual discipline. But also, if you're college age and you think all of your feelings are valid, then you'll wind up needing everything to be safe. You'll need safe spaces. You'll need Kleenexes. You'll need coloring books to process any news that doesn't go your way.
Yeah, that's
any
true.
Opinions that don't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
Because my feelings.
Yeah, my mom didn't. She didn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she understood something, which is so not okay in most people's eyes, but... There's a proverb that says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child.
Mm-hmm. What's the rest of that scripture, Brandon?
I don't remember. Why don't you tell me something about...
that too.
Something about... Is it the rod will drive it from him?
Yeah, yep.
So discipline. I mean, forget corporal punishment for a second. Mm-hmm. Just go, okay, discipline.
Discipline. There are boundaries in this house, she would say. And if you think that these don't fit what you want, then you would need another house.
Yeah.
But she had no problem saying that.
Right. And that helps you later on to say no to your own feelings.
Yes, it does.
So that it's not constantly going, okay, well, whatever. The other thing is about the vitamin N thing is this guy was saying, when you give your child what they want, and this is so relevant for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
You're really setting them up for failure. And it doesn't mean you don't give him some things. It's like he actually has a formula he thinks makes for good parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think this guy is onto something.
Okay.
I've read his articles for a long time. I've seen some of his stuff. I think he's on, as John Roseman's his name. But he said, generally speaking, you take care of 100% of your child's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do about 25% of their wants. Because otherwise they never learn how wonderful it is to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then get something because they worked really hard.
That's true. Man, I can see that. Wow.
But your mom got it instinctively, and my mom got it instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helped with us. I don't know that I was as instinctive, but I remember Julia wanted a sewing machine really bad, which I thought was the sweetest thing. She mm-hmm. just wanted to make things with a sewing machine. She's 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
but she saved up like $120 to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we helped with like 20 of that. We're mm-hmm. like, if you get 100, we'll give you the 20.
Yeah.
And she saved and saved and saved, and pretty soon she's in there, you know, doing her little...
It means something different. It really does when you're able to work for it.
Totally.
My brother, when I did the play, I think I told you the story. I did the play, and he brought my nieces. It's the first time they've been to one of my productions. And the baby, who has... she has a little entertainment thing in her, like Auntie does.
Yeah, so she likes the spotlight.
She does. So she wanted to come out on stage. It was in between shows. She wanted to come out on stage with me. And she, can I go in here? And he said, no. And he said, because I don't want her in that space of, because then she's going to think she should be up there the whole time during the play. He just didn't want that for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dressing room, they're in my dressing room. I'm leaving. And I wanted to take her so bad. And she's crying, bawling. And he's just looking, and he's shutting the door, like, in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm almost crying, and she's crying. And as the door's shutting very close, there's, like, a little thin ray of light. And he goes, you'll be fine to me. You'll be fine. And he shut the door because her feelings, yes, she wants to go out there. But he perceived that's not the best thing for her right now. And she'll cry it out, and everyone will be fine.
A lot of people will never understand that. I think your brother, just picking up on what you've said and things I've observed with him, I think he's a genius.
Well, he gets it from his mama.
He does.
Yeah,
but
does.
Like that's parenting genius, because most people would never, like, what's it going to hurt?
Yeah.
She gets to be out on stage. She gets what she wants.
Mm.
She gets attention. She gets to bask in the spotlight. She's what, 5?
Yes.
What's it going to hurt?
He said,
and he's
no.
going, you don't get everything you want.
Yeah.
Why?
He said it to her and Auntie.
Right. Right. Well, the fact that you weren't opposed, and so now her emotions are in it, so she's testing out, if I cry,
yeah,
does that convince Dad that I get what I want?
Yeah. Can I manipulate Auntie? Can she lobby for me? And yeah, he shut it all down.
So if she cries and she gets what she wants,
mm-hmm.
even though he's got her best interests at heart, when she's 20 and she's a junior in college,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't get what she wants, and she'll start crying.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way the world's supposed to work.
Right. That's so true.
So I know this. I know for a lot of people, like, this is second nature.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, it's just not. And a lot of young parents, that's why I recommended this video. It's only 5 minutes long. We probably talked about it longer than he went. But I think the 125 thing is about right, 100% and 25%, so that they understand... to deny themselves. And when it comes to, I copied something down too. Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
To deny themselves. That's good.
Yep. I was reading this about managing feelings in the workplace. They find that this makes for really great workers.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw this on Business Insider today,
mm-hmm.
That if you want to be a great worker, you have to learn how to manage your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's crucial to be able to control your emotions and not let them get the better of you. It's also important to manage other people's emotions. Of the employers surveyed in the government survey, a third said those skills are lacking in the workforce. And they go on to talk about how you can set yourself apart by being one of the rare people in this generation that's able to go, yeah, I feel rotten about this. Too bad. I'm going to do my job. Makes you different. That's good. So if you're a new parent or you're thinking about being a parent, highly recommend this video. It's in my Twitter timeline if you want to watch it, but it's just called Vitamin In. By the way, one thing I wanted to add on that, this John Roseman guy was talking about in an interview I listened to, he was talking about how moms in particular have a hard time separating emotionally from their kids. So they feel like if something happens to their kid, something happened to me.
Mm.
And that's actually not a good thing. You feel like it is. You feel like it's a righteous thing, but it's not necessarily a good thing. You want a little bit of distance so that if they're feeling wah about something, you're not wah.
Okay.
Like, the teacher told me that I didn't do a good job. Well, I'm going to march in there and tell that teacher. there should be some distance. And then as you get to be an adult, if your kids are making bad decisions, it shouldn't torpedo your life.
Yeah.
But so many moms think that that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to feel whatever their kids feel. It's not true. And you're better off without that. Just a little addendum on there. Why don't you start?
Okay.
I've been talking too much.
No, I don't think so.
I do. I'm sick of me.
You're sick of you.
I'm sick of me.
Okay. So you want me to start talking?
I'm boring.
That's a great thing to announce on the podcast halfway in.
I didn't know we were on. Are you recording? Okay, good.
Yeah, we are recording.
Good, yeah.
So I've been telling you about a kid in my youth group. First of all, I called my cousin, Crystal, who's also my best friend, and we're around the same age. She's 3 years older than me. And we both did urban youth ministry for a long time. And I said to her last night, I said, how is it that we don't have any kids? Like, we do not have children. And yet, every day, somehow, some way, we're still mothering. Like, how did this happen that it just never ends? Like, the kids were, you had them in youth group, and now they're, I'm using air quotes, as adults.
Millennials.
Yes.
And this is not going to be a rip on millennials thing.
Got
a lot of
not.
People listening who are millennials. But you probably observed, even with your own age group, that there's a lot of parenting that still needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the obvious answer, without really knowing where you're going exactly, but why are you dealing with it?
Yeah.
Because they didn't.
Right.
Somebody didn't along the line.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't discipline.
Yeah.
And the world is going to discipline. That's what somebody told me when our kids were little. Like, if you don't discipline your kids, someone's going to.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a prison warden.
Yeah.
It'd be, but somebody along the line is going to discipline your kids for you.
Yeah.
So you're still left doing some mothering.
I am. And trying to navigate that with people who, as we talked before, who haven't heard the word no. And now they're hearing it, and their whole world is falling apart.
Right.
And I'm trying to say, and when you haven't heard the word no, there is also a lack of gratitude that comes because you think things are, they own, like you're supposed to have it.
Right.
And so when someone says to me, you're living in someone else's house, it's one of my kids, you're living in someone else's house because you've made a mess of your life, and so they're giving you a chance to get yourself on your feet, and you don't like their rules. So when you say to me, well, I'm just trying to keep my mouth shut, and I said to him, don't try to keep your mouth shut. I want your mouth to be wide open, and I want two words to come out. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Every chance you get.
Right.
Thank you for letting me stay here. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the hot water. They don't have to do that. You'd be homeless without it. But there's this mentality of this, yes, this all belongs. You're supposed to be doing these things for me. I'm supposed to be taken care of. And that's a hard thing to cut through.
It is, because it's been years of basically I get what I want. Eventually,
and
I get it.
No,
I want a phone. Eventually, I get a phone.
And there's no sense of consequence, and that's the thing. And so I'll see a level of contrition at some point, quote-unquote repentance, but only because you feel a consequence coming.
Right.
So there's some tears, and there's some, I don't know how this happened. Just because you feel like a job is about to be lost or you're about to be put out of your house. And then as soon as that someone steps in and rescues you, it's right back to and it's pride and it's arrogance. And I said to them, I think you're looking for some kind of quote unquote miracle from God to turn this situation around. And what I believe in miracles, but what I will tell you is I know one is not going to happen in your case. And here's why. Biblically, it looks like miracles happen with humility and you have none. So I don't know where we're going from here, because it says God draws close to the humble,
right,
and he resists the proud. Is that too harsh?
No, I like. No,
it's
I love it.
Too much.
I love it so much. I can't stand it.
But every day, Brent, how does someone who doesn't have kids, every day I'm having these discussions, whether it's about life or about the election or about whatever. Yeah, something didn't go your way. Are you going to lose your job behind that? You're going to get on Facebook and say all of these things where your employer can see what you're saying?
But I want what I want.
Well,
here's the thing. In case we sound, and I'm aware of this,
curmudgeon-y.
Curmudgeon-y,
we sound like the Waldorf and Statler up in the balcony.
Which, honestly, I'm okay with that. As a fan of the Muppets. Or just two old people sitting on the rocking chairs at the nursing home going, can you believe?
Oh, I've waited to get here.
The reason it sounds like old stuff or you associate that stuff with old people mm-hmm. is because they generally have some wisdom.
Right.
And this is the way it's been for time immemorial. Mm-hmm. Like generation to generation to generation to generation going all the way back. Mm-hmm. Of course, it sounds old-fashioned because for centuries people understood a basic idea mm-hmm. about how humans operate mm-hmm. until we hit a certain time period, not that long ago in our own cultural history in the West, where we thought, no, indulgence is the way to go. And it does not work. It never has worked. For example, all I have to do to win this argument, somebody's mm-hmm. like, no, indulgence can work. It's all about being loved. It's all, I give you exhibit A, and then I'm going to walk out of the courtroom. Child stars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they turn out really good. Oh, they're loved.
They're adored and affirmed.
Adored and affirmed and almost without exception. If there is an exception, it's like, wow, how'd that happen? Mm-hmm. It's prison, drug abuse, early death, mm-hmm. suicide, bizarre public behavior. Not told no. Get what you want. I mean, that's all I have to do. That's the walk out of the courtroom.
Go ahead
moment.
On out of the courtroom, Perry
Mason. I'm leaving the courtroom now. Thank you. Thank you and good night. So occasionally we talk about personality types. Sherry said something yesterday that surprised me about introverts.
That I had never even, I don't want to say I didn't know the word, but I had never given it even an ounce of thought until I started working with you. I didn't even know it was possible. I thought some people were quiet or shy, but I didn't even know that that was a thing.
That things could be draining on an introvert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that you're sitting alone. Like, I don't know how many people I've bullied into being my friend. Not because I needed a friend, but because I thought they did. You're sitting in a cafeteria alone, or you're sitting somewhere alone with a book, and I'm like, that you couldn't possibly want to do
you're
that.
You're going, hey, so, you know what that person needs?
Yeah, they need a
needs
friend.
Some, no, they need some sherry.
Not go and get them and tell them, come sit with me.
That person doesn't have enough sherry in their life. Come here.
Well, I thought they were lonely. I didn't think... That I just didn't know that, you know what, they probably are okay sitting there with their book and they want you, loud lady, to leave them alone.
That's probably not true, though, for the most part, because a lot of us who are introverts, we still want the human contact. It just drains.
That's interesting because I had a friend who, like, she posts all these introvert memes of, you know, I just want to be under my blanket and all of those things.
Yeah.
And so other friends were doing something. I wasn't there. Other friends were doing something. They didn't invite her. And she was upset. And I was like, now explain to me. We have meme after meme after meme after meme which says you want to stay in the bunker of your home. And then when we don't ask you to go somewhere, it's like, well, you guys could have. So can you explain that? What the?
You know what? I actually have a chapter about that in my book that I'm writing.
Okay.
Thank you. And I kind of don't explain it other than to say we want to be alone until we don't.
Okay.
And it probably is frustrating to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. Clearly, we're humans, and we're group animals. Mm-hmm. You know, using that term loosely, that word animal, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be left to ourselves completely. Isolation is hell.
It is. That's what I thought when I'd bully people to be my friends.
Yeah, but I guess it's incumbent on us to. I don't know what we have to do. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, how does someone like me, because you know my personality, I'll invite everybody everywhere all the time. But then if I get an inkling, well, no, they'd rather, you know, I don't know how to navigate those waters.
I'd say fight the worry about rejection and just let us decide on a case-by-case basis. Should you have to do that? No.
Okay.
It's our fault. Mm. But it's who we are. It's just, I think a lot of it's inertia, too. It's mm-hmm. good for me to be around people. I need it.
Okay.
But the easiest thing is not to.
Okay.
I'd rather not. Mm-hmm. If somebody's like, hey, let's get together, I'd rather not.
Okay.
Or if I commit to it, when it comes time, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I also know it's good.
But you feel like you should. You have to.
I feel like I should. Okay. So maybe it's a symbiotic thing where it's actually really good for you to be forward.
Okay.
So that it is good for us. You know, bottom line, you're looking at that person going, they need some shit. Yeah, they probably do. They need some people.
That's what I think, but then I'm always like, am I being too pushy? Am I doing too much? I think that's I think that's an extrovert, but I don't know if everyone feels that, where it's like, okay, maybe they don't want to.
Every introvert I know likes extroverts.
Okay.
That's why Justice lights up when you're home.
Mm.
My son, he likes it. Even, he if we can't replicate it, we can't mm-hmm. generate that kind of energy, we're not going to smile.
Justice and I have a great time.
You too. It's just that's I am so thankful for the friends I have, and I have several extrovert friends who think I'm odd, but yes. but still keep wanting to do things with me. Mm. I'm very thankful. I was thinking about my friend Greg, mm-hmm. very extroverted, very forceful, mm-hmm. and he likes it.
Okay,
he likes it. He draws me out. He keeps talking anyway. I can tell he thinks I'm a little odd, mm-hmm. but that's okay.
That's great. That is really great to hear encouraging, because that's what I do. And I'm like, but I will sometimes drive home or be at home and be like, were you too much? Were you doing too much? But I do like being around people who are interesting, and introverts more than extroverts are interesting to me, because you have to mine for the thought. You have to mine for the personality, whatever it is, whereas extroverts are just all over the map, but you have to kind of get it out, draw it out, and I like that.
I'll be quiet, generally, and then someone, at some point, World War I is going to come up with a conversation.
and then I'm off to the races. Stride. Absolutely.
And then, zing, now who's the extrovert? Now who's the introvert? Now who wants to get away? Oh, I thought you were so extroverted. Well, now I don't understand.
Why are you peeling off? You put up
all these extrovert memes, and you're the one who wants to leave. I don't understand.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brand and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.